Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome back to another episode, and welcome to Sunday. I hope you're enjoying these podcasts, and if you are, I hope that you share them with your friends and invite them to sign up for Winder's Windshield, my posts, my podcast, or my blog, whatever they want, so that they can get this information that challenges them and sticks in your head throughout the week. So anyhow, today, the thing I'm going to put in your head is going to be interesting. The title of today's topic is called The Three-Sided Cage. The Three-Sided Cage. And I've had some conversation with some folks and used this with them in discussion, and they have found it very helpful and interesting. It's a metaphor that I've had in my head for a very, very long time. I use it. I'm not sure if I've heard it explained in the way that I'm going to, but I'm sure it's not an uncommon idea. In fact, as you're going to see, the three-sided cage is a universal principle. So I'm not surprised if any others also have the same or similar metaphor that they would use. What am I talking about? I'm rambling on. Hey, this is what I'm talking about. And it's going to take a little bit of effort on your part. You see, for those who have eyes to see, you know, and scripture talks about people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. That's how Jesus kind of phrases it. What it is that there's something going on that is beyond the vision and purview of our normal paradigms, okay? And that is exactly what this metaphor is. In fact, all spirituality, as Richard Rohr and many others have said, is metaphor. But I am going to share this one with you that I believe is a portal through which we can access really transformative power. And that's huge because, I mean, we all seek change, lasting change, change for the better. But we always discover that change is hard. And this is going to be a portal for you to kind of get into a new place for your life, if you'll embrace it. And without overselling it, this is perhaps the strongest power in the entire universe. Yes, in the entire universe. The caveat here, though, is that this power is packaged in simplicity. And that means that some people are just going to dismiss my claim that it's that powerful as impossible. Because sometimes beauty is not always obvious. And sometimes beauty is not always complicated. Right? It takes a little something to be able to see this, to see what it is. And this metaphor that I'm going to use today kind of draws it out, but you have to get there. And what am I talking about? How about we just go there? The metaphor, like I said, is the three-sided cage. So imagine a prison that has impenetrable steel bars on only three of its four walls. And where the fourth wall should be, there's just open space leading out into freedom. Of course, we kind of chuckle because a prison with three walls is anything but a prison. And that's precisely the point. It's also precisely the tragedy. You see, a dog crate with no door kind of defeats the point of the crate, because a dog that seeks freedom would simply walk away. But if we come across such a crate, and inside there is a dog that is too fearful to go out and be a dog, then we begin to see beyond the metaphor. This is what I mean, having eyes to see. The human condition is such as the fearful dog here. And sometimes the cage that we're in, this three-sided cage that doesn't have a fourth wall to really keep us in, sometimes that cage is something that's not our own. It's not our own making. You see, we're born into families. We're born into geographies or economies, systems, all of those things that imprint upon us a very particular shape, despite our unique dimensions. Oh, you're going to be like this. You're one of us. You were born in this town. You were born on this side of the tracks. You have this going against you. You have this going for you. See what I'm getting at? All of those systems that we're born into kind of press a shape onto us, or press us into a mold, so to speak. And yet deep inside our most sober-minded moments, we intuit something of our true form. We recognize, don't we, in those really true moments, that we are not quite the thing that we are pressed into. I call this proximity. And in the shadow of proximity, we actually question the tensile strength of those three walls. And throughout life, we find ourselves in a cage or two or three or four or in a series of cages. And each of those cages claim ownership of us, and they threaten us, and they keep us fearful or at least distracted. I mean, what would become of us if we turn away from our bars and faced the wide open space? What would happen if we just walked out of our prisons? Sometimes the cage is our own creation, right? I described just briefly how the cage is not our own. Now I'm going to talk about how the cage is our own creation. I mean, we've been warned about the non-existent wall. And out of the corner of our eyes, we've glimpsed its vast expanse with all of its uncertainty, right? The opened wall is a big question mark. What if? I just don't know. There, you know, there's a marginal kind of safety that's found within the bars. So we clutch to them really tightly. You know, we can't cross through those bars, but neither can anything else cross over to us. We like our life to be predictable. Predictable seems safe. We can get up and know what to expect, right? The devil you know is better than the devil you don't. We've all been pressed into an identity, and that oftentimes we accept that identity as our own. And we all see this. We see people going after everything in life. They're going to be defined by their job title, by their career choice, by who they marry, by where they live or what they drive or how much money they make or the clothes they buy or the friends they hang out with. Those are all false identities. None of those things are who we actually are. But hey, if the identity is pressed upon us and we buy into it, then we go after that to try and prove that that's us. And sometimes that's just good enough. And better the known in prison than the unknown freedom, right? You see how this metaphor works? Do you see how the metaphor is powerful and universal? I mean, it gets at every person, in every economy, in every racial, social, religious, economic, educational strata of the world, at every time in history, at every stage of advancement, no one is exempt. Every category of life retells this deeply spiritual and now personal story. The cage is where we turn loose of hope and where we settle, and we all live and grow up in one of these. It's true in small ways, like our addictions and our prejudices, right? We can walk away from an addiction. We can turn loose of a prejudice, but we don't. It's also true in big ways, like our relationships and our religions. We can separate and be free from certain relationships that are forming us into what we are not. We can walk away from religions that move us away from conformity to our true self, found transparently in God. But we don't. We'd rather be defined by what the tribe tells us than what that small inner voice is trying to tell us. The three walls, like I say, are telling us something. They're selling us, actually, a message, and they're giving us a tattoo gun. You see, if we believe their sales pitch, then we are going to end up engraving our life with their slogans that mask is the truth. Their goal is to keep us small. The three walls are always one voice after the next that's keeping you and me small and stuck and fearful and disempowered and broken and poor and discouraged. This is what they sound like. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You're ugly. You're bad. You're unworthy. You're not one of the lucky ones. Those people are different than you. You better just play it safe in here. Hedge your bets. Don't risk too much. Play defense, not offense. You'll be alone or rejected or punished if you leave. You see, that's the voice of the three walls, and I know many people who basically tattoo those messages on their minds and hearts. But you and I both know there is another voice. And it comes from where the fourth wall should be. It comes from outside. It's outside of you and it's outside of me, but we hear it on the inside at that very still and quiet place. And it is a still, small voice, certainly by comparison to the noise within the cage. And despite its faintness, we all hear it. Every one of us hears this voice calling us. It seems like a voice that is really confident in us. It seems to know that deep down cry within us, that part that the three walls want us to forget. It says, come out. It's worth the risk. Taste and see. It says, you cannot be you inside there. There's a Greek word called ekkaleo. And in scripture, what that means is the called out ones. The called out ones. And the irony here is that that is scripture's word where we get ecclesia, which is the word for church. Now, that is something I bet you didn't see coming, did you? The church is not the street corner building. This church is not a community of people that all just believe the same thing and have the same anger and hostility and political opinion. No, 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 no. The church, as it's defined biblically, are those who follow the cry to exit the three-walled cage. It kind of redefines everything, doesn't it? The called out ones are really the ones who hear the voice. The other ones that listen to the voice of the walls about playing it safe and protecting yourself, that would be the differentiation. So this is a big story. This is a huge story. It's the biggest story of the universe, and it's true down to every small particle in many different ways. It's very nuanced, but it's simple. It's beautiful, like I said at the beginning. But you know what happens? Religion tries to control the story so it can wield its power. But you see, the story is bigger than any religious container. So religion gets at it, but the religion can't contain it. It's bigger than religion. It's not just limited there, of course. Coaches and educators and legislators and leaders try to leverage its community, right? The called out ones create a group of people. And all of these leaders want to say, hey, we're the ones. We're the enlightened ones. We're the smart ones. We're the, you name it. But none of those systems can adequately possess it either. They might be there. They might not be. And so this tells us that this metaphor is made of something other, something of a substance other than what we think. That's what we call spirituality. It's found in a poetic way, right? It can't be learned through dogma. It can't be memorized in a creed or in a chant. It's completely inaccessible to anything but experience. We can only point to it until the moment we take action. You see, the good news is that faith is not a prerequisite for entrance into this story. Instead, faith is the byproduct of the experience of the story. Think about that one for a little while. Now, leaving the cage to face the open space is always, each time we do it, a new birth. You see, it's what religion calls salvation. What will actually become if we follow that still small voice to go outside? Well, only the awakened heart can know. And so I know I'm talking metaphorically. I've been talking about a metaphor. I'm pointing at something that I hope you can experience. I hope this helps you identify those areas in your life where you are stuck, where you are fearful, where you've been told or taught something, and deep down inside it goes against that deep cry within you. You recognize you've been pressed into a mold that is not your dimension. And part of you longs to be who you really are, and you wonder if you ever will be. That's the three-sided cage. I call it the three-sided cage because there isn't four walls. You are never in prison. You are never in prison. Why? Because the doors of the jail cell have been opened. This is Isaiah 61. This is Luke 4. This is good news to the poor. This is liberation of the captive. And if you'll allow me to use the religious language, Jesus rolled up the scroll and said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. Which means there are no fourth walls on any prison. You and I can walk right out. And I ask that may we trust the voice that calls us out of our many prisons. May we never break faith with that guiding, still small voice. A few steps beyond the cage, and we enter the exile of freedom, where it enlarges us. And once you're enlarged, you can never go back into the same cage again. You see, our liberation enables us to see all of our many cages. And that deep down cry within us changes from suffering to gratitude. And if you can see what I'm saying, deep down, you know this is true. You know this is the truth. And then, and only then, do we learn that which leads us to our true self, by definition, cannot be us. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.